slack is good news. Planet Silicon Dragon. Really? Silicon Dragon? Okay, I'm here with Rebecca Fannin. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
This Rebecca is something else. She knows a lot about doing business in China and what China is doing in regard to technology, as well as investments and a lot of financial data. She's here in New York. She's out there in near the San Francisco area, Silicon Valley, but she's a Silicon Dragon. And you have events coming up, one here in New York on June 21st, and you have other events happening all. So what happens at your events?
We bring together venture capitalists, angel investors, tech entrepreneurs, innovators, corporate strategy people, and we create a community where people can discuss the issues and explore the trends. Debate topics about China, which is a big story. And so we do them regularly, about 10 of them a year in global hotspots.
Okay, well, we're in a global hotspot right now. There's some sounds behind us because we're at the Friars Club here in New York. You had just spoken at the China Institute here, 116 East 55th Street, and I unfortunately was not able to get there for the speech.
Okay.
And because I was at another event.
Sure.
And but I was very, very interested in what you were going to speak about. So what did you speak about tonight?
I spoke about how China has progressed over the past 15 years from made in China to invested in China. And I talked about all the metrics that have made this possible. For instance, the venture capital money, the talent pool, the innovations that have come from China, and the surplus of engineers, and the tech parks, and the whole ecosystem in China, and how fast everything is happening in China in the tech world, and how it's pretty much isolated from kind of the slowdown in the general economy. So in tech, it's still booming, and there's still unicorns that are being financed at billion-dollar valuations, and many more startups still happening, even though it's a 15-year story. So you're still at the really emergence of China's Silicon Valley.
You know, it's very interesting. Our audience knows we have goodnewschina.tv and knows that for 30, over 30 years, we've been involved with China, and actually we're our initial company was doing multicultural marketing and advertising for the Chinese and for the Asian community. So we've been in this business a long time. So and it is a short amount of time. So in essence, when they come here, many of the Chinese are trying to learn. I mean, we're in business for 200 plus years, or 300 here in America. China's not in business for that long. So there really is some cultural differences and some knowledge that needs to be understood in doing business with somebody from China, because they might not make a deal within 5 minutes.
That's
And we're kind of impatient Americans.
Right.
And it could be very frustrating. So how does someone deal with that frustration?
Well, you know, how they deal with it is you have to get to know your counterpart, your partner that you might be doing business with. Get to know them really well. Go out, have drinks with them. Go have dinner with them. And this is the Chinese way. You get to know someone socially before you actually do business with them. And so we need to be more accustomed to that so you don't get frustrated with it. Just do it the China way.
All right. That sounds good to me. And they're very good cooks. You know that the number one restaurant in America is Chinese.
I think
there's more Chinese restaurants than any other restaurant here in America. It's a very interesting community. And isn't it also interesting how there's so many Chinatowns? I know you're from the San Francisco area.
Sure.
And New York has our downtown here, and Flushing and Brooklyn. There's a lot of Chinese people.
This is true. And there are a lot of different Chinese cuisines, too.
Yes.
And so that makes it interesting. The Chinese cuisine is more complex, really, than what we have in the Western world.
So, Rebecca,
many more spices.
Tell me why. What was the spice of the Chinese that interested you initially?
You know, I really like the entrepreneurial culture of the Chinese people. And I like the fact that they're very down to earth. In my opinion, in my dealings with interviewing Chinese business leaders and dealing with people in everyday life in China, I find them to be very down to earth. And I like the entrepreneurs that I interviewed, I like their entrepreneurial culture. I just, that fast pace, that innovative, really maverick kind of style. it's more pronounced in China, I think, than it is in the U.S.
No, they're after doing business right now. They're serious. we're in conversations with the country to bring our good news, China.tv.
Sure.
We recently put a 5-part television series for Heilongjiang in American television in Chinese. I got it to be only in Chinese.
Okay.
No translation.
Okay.
So that was a pretty interesting thing.
Yeah.
So tell us, what can somebody, and if they come to Silicon Dragon feature events, what can they learn, and what do you suggest they should do? First, you have a website. What do they do?
Oh yeah, we have a website. We're on social media, on Twitter, we're on WeChat, we're on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn. We're in all these avenues because today, if you're in media, you have to be. And we've actually done a Silicon Dragon talk show as well.
Wow.
We filmed that and in the studio. So we're, you know, I do that as well. But we have bring in guests. But at our events, basically, you're there to, there's a lot of networking, actually. People come to meet one another, and I have to say, I think Silicon Dragon is a real community. And it's gone to be almost like a global community now, too, where people will not only go to a New York event, but then they'll go to LA, and then they may go to Beijing, our Beijing event, then they may show up in London. It's becoming this global community of people who are interested in tech innovation.
And we really need to know how to deal with them. I've been involved, as I mentioned, for many years, but I think what I want to say is that the fact is that they have bought about 500 companies here in America,
yeah,
if not more. Okay? And we've bought maybe 2 in China. So, this is a reality. This is real talk.
Yeah, no.
The fact of the matter is it's not so easy. And everything situation, what they want me to do is to start a joint venture. Okay?
Oh, I see. Well, that was the traditional path. That was the only way you could go in the past, where you had the joint venture. But today you can go into other avenues.
That's true.
Depending upon the business that you're in. And media is more difficult.
And a free trade zone. Yes, they have a lot of restrictions on the media. The free trade zones are an opportunity for people as well. And so, but it's so you can go there and do some business there. There are some difficulties in getting the money out of there, but these are realities. These are things you need to learn how to deal with. And so, is that how you help somebody? So, if somebody needed consulting on how to do business in China, can they give you a call?
Sure, they can give me a call. They just need to be aware that I have an hourly fee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's appropriate. You know, using your brain power.
I've been in 15 years in China, so I've learned a few things.
All righty. Last 2 quick questions. What is good news for you? What would be good news for you?
Let's see. The publication of my next book.
Next book?
Yes.
What was the first? Do you have many books?
I have three.
And they're called?
The first is Silicon Dragon, published in 2008. The second is Startup Asia, published in 2011. The third is Innovation in Emerging Markets, where I was a co-author. That came out last year. And I'm, you know, starting my fourth book. And so, yeah, the publication, the end of that journey, yes, that was great.
Wow, this Rebecca is very, very prominent. Thank you very much. My last question, just because we're involved with world peace, and I've asked thousands of people, what does peace mean to them? What does peace mean to you?
Going home at night, going to sleep at night with a restful mind that things are right in the universe. And there's so many conflicts in the world today. You know, there's no way that all these conflicts are going to be resolved. So I think it's a matter of having kind of peace with yourself and peace that, you know, you're doing the best you can do and you're contributing to a peaceful society. Those are things that I think matter a lot to me.
You're fantastic. I'll have you let you know also that Katie Couric said sleep. So you're on the same page.
Okay. Oh, good.
Thank you so much.
All right. Maybe I'll say dreams.
Okay. Thank you, Rebecca.